I have a weak voice today, so I will. I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. I had no voice, and I was panic stricken. So I will blow it all out here, and so you may have to listen carefully at times.
It strikes me as odd that this week we managed to have two people totally clear from cancer and half church now had this horrible head cold. Obviously, we need to pray against horrible head colds.
Yes, but that was a darn good trade-off. I take that any day. Oh, yeah, definitely. Well, you may have guessed that so we heard the cheerful lessons this morning. You can always tell when you're getting close to Advent because you get these end of time teaching from Scripture, which are not the things you want to read to your children before they go to bed at night, unless you're Stephen King, I guess. But you know, I always wondered what it would be like being his child. Kids, you want a bedtime story? No. And you have these stories of the end time, and you know, you have that cheerful line in Daniel, there will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of the nations until then. And Jesus talks about how bad it's going to be and says, just flee. Just flee. Run away. Yeah. And it's very disconcerting. But there is sort of that inborn natural human tendency to want to know, to understand what's going to transpire in the end times. And Daniel, once the revelation is given to him, he says, I heard, but I did not understand. So I ask, my Lord, what will the outcome of all this be? And I want to really thank Daniel for asking that question on our behalf. Amen. When I meet him, thanks, Daniel. I would have said the same thing. I don't understand. I still don't. And like millions of others, I want to know what the outcome will be. And the disciples asked Jesus almost the same question in chapter 12 of Mark. We have a nice section there of Mark about the coming destruction of the temple. But if you back up, you know, you get even more. You know, you get wars and rumors of wars. The whole 12th chapter is heartwarming. There'll be earthquakes and all of these wonderful things.
Fire.
Yeah. And it'll and it reads very much like the newspaper.
Yeah.
And so in verse 4 of chapter 12, which is not part of our text today, but they say to Jesus, tell us, when will all these things happen? What will be the sign that they're about to come to fulfillment? Everybody wants to know about the end times. 48 years ago, when I was 14, high school freshman, I started attending Campus Crusade for Christ events and got very involved in the Jesus movement of the time. Which may be why I've stayed in the church so long. I don't know. But one evening I accompanied some friends to an event. And an illusionist named Andre Cole, who has done some magnificent things. You can go on YouTube and see some of his illusions. He was going to do a show followed by a presentation. So I went. And the show was awesome. You know, picked some people out of the crowd I knew. Friend Philip was standing in a box that apparently had three sections, and he pushed Philip's head way over here to this side and the middle of his body over to there. And I don't know how he did it, but it was pretty awe-inspiring. And Philip came out, you know, okay. I mean, at least as okay as he was when he went in. And, just magnificent illusions. But then he gradually worked, and I don't remember what the transition was, but he worked into teachings of the end times. And at that point in my life, I knew absolutely nothing about dispensational teachings in the church. He was talking about prophecies from Daniel and Revelation that I was not that familiar with. I was well versed in Scripture and, you know, from Sunday school and church, but he was talking about things I had never heard before. It's like he took a template of present time newspaper and put it over Scripture and was showing you how these prophecies were being fulfilled right now. And I would say I was interested, I was, but I was more horrified and scared than I was interested. Because what he was saying, you know, made perfect sense. I was blown away. I knew nothing about such teachings. And so when I left, I thought, well, I need to read about this. So anybody remember what, in the early 70s, what book was available?
The Late Great
Planet Earth by Hal Lindsey, exactly. It was the best-selling nonfiction book of that entire decade. Amazing. Especially if you've read it. But I read it, and he was showing how all these prophecies were being fulfilled at that time. And talked about how, you know, the struggle between Gog and Magog, and that Russia was going to invade Israel, and all of this. And he taught that the 1970s were the beginning of the age of the Antichrist. The Antichrist had been born, and that age had started. And that the rapture would occur no later than 1988.
Oops.
We missed it. By 1990, 28 million copies of his book had been sold. There was even a feature film narrated by Orson Welles, which made it even creepier. The biggest problem with that is that the things that he said were going to happen did not come to pass. It did not pan out the way Hal said it would. It didn't pan out the way Andre Cole said it would. But for millions of people, that didn't matter. Because the thing that Hal Lindsey had done, he had popularized the teachings from the 1830s of John Darby. Now, you don't need to know about John Darby. But before the 19th century, these teachings had never, ever been in the church. But his teachings became very popular because of Hal's book and movies. And suddenly, books began to appear everywhere about end times. And it became a multi-billion-dollar industry in the United States. And the best example is the Left Behind series that, you know, were extremely popular. 16 best-selling books, 7 of them were number one. There were 4 movies. There were video games. And I read a couple of them, and I have to say, they were well-written books. They're interesting. But boy, talk about violent. And not a whole lot of good news when you read it. I think the least favorite one I read was the one called Glorious Appearing, which is when Christ comes. That was Book 15, and Jesus speaks one word, and all of his enemies split in half, literally. And talked about how it was hard for Christians to move about and drive because of these bodies and stuff. And that was just a little too graphic for me. I mean, I love a good bloodletting every now and then, but when you blow up entire cities and things like that, these were popular. In fact, they were so popular, they started a Left Behind children's book series, and there are 40 of those to date.
Oh,
Hopefully it's a little less graphic.
Hopefully. I hope, yeah. And that's why children aren't sleeping. But no one is quite sure why dispensationalism is so popular. And it's only in America that people are just wild about this stuff and read about it. And it has become a new theology for some denominations. But I think it's because people like the idea of having a roadmap to the future. They want to know what's coming. They want to know what's around the bend. And they want to know what God's plan is. They don't want to just like entrust it to God. And say, well, God's in control. It's going to be okay. No, I want to know. Okay, God, what are you going to do? And so, in books of Revelation, you have locusts that become Apache helicopters and things like this in the interpretations that some people come up with. But if you go to, Christian bookstore websites and ask for end times, you will see pages of books. Pages upon pages. But my biggest problem with it is the same problem I had when I was 14. It's not good news. It's not presented as good news. It's presented as bad news. Jesus is coming and taking names. And some horrible... Now, there are some horrible things that are going to happen, of course. There are wars and rumors of wars and earthquakes and famines. Those are bad things. But the second coming of Christ cannot be bad news. It's part of the gospel. It's good news. And if we look at our reading from Daniel today, it starts out with Michael, and that's my favorite archangel. How can you go wrong there? And he says, yes, there will be a time of distress. We know that. But listen to the good news that comes right on the heels of it. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book, will be delivered. That's good news. Your name is written in the book of life. You will be delivered. And he goes on to say, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. Resurrection is not bad news. Some to everlasting life, others to shame. But those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. That's good news. And every Sunday when we stand here and we say, He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and His kingdom will have no end. None of us are fearful when we say that. That's an expectation. How could Christ coming be bad news? It's a good news message. It's part of the kerygma of the church. It's what we announce to the world. It is good news of deliverance, good news of resurrection, good news of salvation. So then, what do we need to know? What do we, on that need to know basis, what do you need to know? Like everyone else, we want to ask like Daniel, my Lord, what will the outcome of this be? But the thing that most people don't listen to was the answer. I heard, verse 8, but I did not understand. So I asked, my Lord, what will be the outcome of all of this? He replied, go your way, Daniel. Go your way, Daniel. And again, verse 13 at the very end. He says, as for you, go your way. Go your way. So I was kind of interested in, to see what others had how others had translated that "go your way." The Christian Standard Version, which came out in the last 2 years, done by Lifeway, is translated "get going now." Get, yeah. What do I need? I want to know, Lord. Get going. Yeah. It's like when you come in, you pastor your mom. Yeah, you get out. Go on. You bother me, kid. And the message, if any of you have ever read the message, it can be refreshing at times. The message translated, "Go on about your business." And I like that. Go on about your business. And what is our business? It's the proclamation of the good news to the world. We are the people who live between the Advents. You know, we're getting ready to go into Advent as our preparation for the coming of the Lord. And that's why these lessons come up. You know, the preparation for the coming of the Lord in that second Advent. And when the angel said to the shepherds, "Behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all people." It was good news then, it's good news now. There are always going to be horrible things happening in the world. And if you hadn't noticed them, I'm sorry. I don't know. Yeah, that's why we have 24-hour news. So a lot of people can sit around and talk about horrible things. Wouldn't it be cool if they just sat there one time and talked about something good? But today you just get one talking head telling you that as people who live between the Advents, God is saying to us, get going now. What are we supposed to do? What we always do. And when Christ returns, you know, what would you do if you knew Christ were returning tomorrow? Hopefully the same thing you're doing today. Because it is good news. And in just a moment, when we proclaim and confirm our faith by the use of the Nicene Creed, pay particular attention when you get to there and give it a smile. Because it is good news. Amen. Amen. I guess one of them will get it right. The last one.